Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week, Near FM's year-long series promoting poetry. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is The Kerry Foot, written and read now by Anne-Marie Nichoran.
So this poem is part of a series of poems that was written at Carrizavine in County Kerry. And the poem itself comes with three short notes, which I'm going to read to you now. The first note is, Carrizavine translates from Irish as Fort of Little Sive. In Irish legend, Sive was the mother of Oisin, and she appears in stories both in human and deer form. The second note is that in 1984, the Kerry Babies story unfolded in Carrizavine. For anyone who's not familiar with the Carrizavine story, it's a series of events in which two infant bodies were found, one washed up on shore and one found on a piece of farmland. The third note is that a few months before the Kerry Babies story broke, it was reported that a single human foot was found washed up on the shore at Carrizavine. This poem is called The Kerry Foot. It began with a foot thrown up out of the underworld, as ceremonious as a stone, one morning on the shore of Fort Savine, 1984. This was a warning foot, a foot of other parts to come. A foot before 15-year-old Anne died in the grotto giving birth. A foot before Joanne circled on a map for the court, each bog lane in which an act had occurred. A foot before the broadcast on RTE of statues weeping blood. This was the fortune foot of Savine, who set a hoof into the centre of a soldier's fort to win her human body back. One touch of the earth and the hide fell from her bones. This foot marked the sand where soon the air was about to become animal again. And as the air, hissing salt, rose on its hinds against the bay, the Kerry foot without a name was placed into an unmarked grave. Already the body had been claimed and grieved enough.
The Kerry Foot by Anne-Marie Nichoran, and I'm delighted to be joined by the poet in the studio now. Anne-Marie, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Wonderful to have you. Anne-Marie, tell us a little bit about this poem. You mentioned off air to me that you feel that Ireland has perhaps treated women not so well historically, and that the stories and controversies of Irish women survive in the physical landscape. Can you elaborate a little bit on that in the context of this poem?
So a few years ago, I was at the Kilrillig Arts Centre in Kerry, where I was undertaking a writer's residency, and I began looking into the social history of the area. And I discovered that the nearest town was Carrizavine, and that was the town where the Kerry Babies scandal had unfolded. So I suppose I became quite interested in the story of Joanne Hayes and the Kerry Babies. And for anyone who's not familiar with that story, it's kind of a sequence of events where one infant corpse was found washed up on shore, and another was found on a piece of farmland. And this woman, Joanne Hayes, found herself really at the centre of this kind of feminist debate around the body and female autonomy and motherhood. And so I really kind of became interested in that topic, and perhaps it's particularly resonant with me as well, because you know, I grew up with a father who was tracing his family. My grandmother spent time in an unmarried mother's home. And I myself had lots of fostered and adopted siblings. So I've always been very kind of attuned to this kind of theme of mother-child separation. So I began writing about Joanne Hayes and then also looking into the mythological history attached to Cara Sevigne. And amazingly, I discovered that Cara Sevigne translates from the Irish as Fort of Little Sive. And Sive herself is a character in Irish mythology whose body was often the site of conflict and who also had a story of mother-child separation. So I suppose this particular poem brings together the politics of the 80s and Irish mythology, and maybe there's even a little bit of kind of my personal autobiography around familial separation in there as well.
Was there anything about this case that was particularly resonant with you, or do you think it fit into larger narratives of poor treatment against women, poor treatment against mothers, lack of autonomy, all those issues?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly I think growing up in the 80s was a very particular experience for girl children, because all the time kind of in the news and the media you were being attuned to these stories about people like Anne Lovett, Joanne Hayes, you know, even kind of later on came, you know, the Monica Lewinsky stories. So all these, you know, I mean, they sound kind of gas kind of to look back on, but really the effect of that, of having these stories pumped into the home through media that were very much to do with the female body and shame, you know, like, and that was, I think, for our family, where my grandmother had been literally shamed into one of these unmarried mothers' home, it was a very sensitive, you know, topic in the household in which I grew up in, you know, the female body and motherhood. And that's, I suppose, growing up in the 80s was kind of an interesting time, because you were being fed all of these stories and narratives that kind of drew your attention to the subject of the female body.
You mentioned after my first question about Cara Sevigne translates to the Fort of Little Sive, and Little Sive was Oisin's mother, Oisin, you know, the famous first Irish poet ever in mythology, who Yeats wrote a lot about. And then in one of the stanzas, this was the fortune foot of Sivine, who set a hoof into the centre of a soldier's fort. That's a story I'm not quite familiar with. Could you tell us, elaborate on that one a little bit for us?
Well, Sivine was a character who refused the romantic advances of a potential suitor. And, you know, for that refusal, she was punished by being turned into an animal. And the only way that she could escape this animal body and become herself again was literally to kind of step inside this magical fort. So I suppose, you know, this theme of the body and of the foot and of body parts, you know, is very kind of vibrant around that particular landscape. And I myself in my practice, I'm very interested in digging down into the landscape and looking at the kind of the psychic connections and the links between mythology and social history and contemporary politics. And I suppose part of me believes that we are in this loop of recreating the same stories, and that the landscape determines a lot of how we kind of engage with each other as communities, you know. So maybe it's not something that everybody believes in, but I certainly think that we're shaped a lot by the landscape from which we come.
I'm particularly interested in the way that you juxtapose reality and myth in the poem. You have two stanzas side by side. The stanza that we just spoke about, where Sivine has to set foot into a soldier's fort in order to become a woman again. And then the stanza immediately previous to that one, where you talk about Anne Lovett, who died at Granard, County Longford, at 15 years of age, giving birth to a child. And then Joanne Hayes herself and a series of bizarre crimes she was accused of. And I'm wondering why mythology and real life are paired together in this instance. Does mythology give us new ways to understand real life? Is it a new lens that we can look to?
Absolutely. I think stories of myth, you know, they're a way in which we can understand the absolute complexity of story of realities. And I think it's always useful to look back to mythological stories to try and really get an understanding of where we are at today. Anne Lovett and Joanne Hayes and all the other girls who found themselves in conflict with the state and with the changing Ireland, I think it's a really useful thing to remember their difficulties and to honour their stories and to look back on their loss. And sometimes it can be really harrowing to look back at the way that Ireland treated women. It can be really quite difficult. And, you know, that's why I think sometimes it's so valuable to be able to draw on myth, because it's a much gentler way of talking about very difficult content and of understanding it. And it's quite an in-depth tool as well for exploring, you know, stories that are almost, you know, beggar belief. How did Ireland treat Joanne Hayes like that? You know, how is a 15-year-old allowed to die at a grotto? So this kind of language of myth gives us a new way to kind of dig down into the facts and, I suppose, think about that subject matter. Yeah,
Anne-Marie, thank you very much for coming in today. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Great, thank you.
Anne-Marie Ní Chuireann is a poet from Northwest Donegal. Her work has been published in Poetry Ireland Review, The Shop, The London Magazine, Agenda Poetry Journal and The Stinging Fly. Bloodroot is her debut collection and is published by Dira Press. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Poem of the Week is broadcast every Monday at 12 noon and every Saturday at 10 a.m. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.